Hello, I'm Rebecca Sain, a former title holder in the Miss and Mrs. America pageant systems, and I'd like to welcome you to the world of Dr. Joel Wallach. I'm one of many who has been gifted with restored health as a result of Dr. Wallach's research and nutritional products. Millions have heard his message of health and long life from his popular audio cassette, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Others have heard his message of nutrition and longevity from his syndicated radio show, his books, or his 300-plus speaking engagements per year. Listen closely and prepare to achieve your ultimate in good health. It is my privilege to introduce researcher, author, lecturer, and world-renowned authority on health and longevity, Dr. Joel Wallach.
I grew up on a bee farm in Missouri, about 80 miles west of St. Louis. And like everybody else that raised livestock, we raised a lot of our own feed, and we raised corn and soybeans and hay. And those of you that raise livestock, you know, you grind this stuff up into a flour, and you add your vitamins and minerals and trace minerals. And we made pellets, and we fed those calves for about 6 to 9 months. And then we shipped them off to other feeders or maybe to be butchered. And you always save back the very best ones for yourself, and you knock them in the head and eat them. It's a real simple cycle on the farm. And the thing that fascinated me as a teenager was that as a family, we ate out of the very same fields that those calves did. We kept back 5 rows of corn for ourselves. We had a garden at the end of the field where we grew our peas and beans and squash and tomatoes. And we wanted to live to be 100 with no aches and pains, but we did not give ourselves the same vitamins and minerals and trace minerals we gave the calves. And I was always asking my dad, I'd say, hey, Pops, how come we go to all that trouble for the calves? We eat out of the same fields. We want to live to be 100 with no aches and pains, and you don't give us the same vitamins and minerals and trace minerals, what gives? Well, being an old Missouri farmer, my dad used to give me a lot of Missouri farm wisdom, and he'd say things like, shut up, boy. You're getting farm fresh food, fresh air, lots of free exercise. Don't ask complicated questions. Well, I was glad to get rid of the farm exercise and go on to ag school at the University of Missouri. And there I learned technical things about soil chemistry and how it related to tons and bushels per acre. I learned about ag economics. But I really didn't get an answer to my basic question, why for the calves and not for us, until I became a freshman veterinary student at the University of Missouri. And there I learned that the reason why we put all these vitamins and minerals and trace minerals in animal feeds, bottom line, is simply because we don't have health insurance for them. We don't have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, major medical hospitalization, Medicare and Medicaid for animals. And if we were to use a human healthcare type of system for animals, it'd be sticker shock for you. Your hamburger would cost you $275 a pound. Boneless, skinless chicken breasts would be $450 a pound. A dozen eggs would be $50 just to pay for the health care. So we learned that we could keep the price of animal products such as meat and dairy and poultry and eggs down to where the average American could afford to eat them every day simply by reducing or eliminating health care costs in animals. And we do this by preventing and curing diseases with nutritional formulas. And after graduating vet school, I went to Africa for a couple of years and got to work with Marlon Perkins from the old Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom days. That was kind of a kick. Got to play Frank Buck and use a tranquilizer gun and catch elephant and rhino. Spent 2 years tromping all over Central and South Africa. And after 2 years working on these big conservation projects, Marlon sent me a telegram and invited me back to the States. He'd actually gotten a $7.5 million grant from the National Institutes of Health. This was 35 years ago, and this was to study pollution, the environment, and the world ecology. And this combined the efforts of the St. Louis Zoo, the Shaw's Botanical Gardens, and Washington University's Department of Biology into one new department called the Center for the Biology of Natural Systems. And my job as the wildlife veterinarian on the project was to do autopsies of animals that died of natural causes in the big zoos around the United States. And I was supposed to identify a species of animals that was ultra-sensitive to pollution. And we're going to use that animal, much like the old coal miners used to use canaries. Remember how that goes? They take the canaries down in the mine, and if methane gas or carbon monoxide were to leak into the mine, the canaries were more sensitive than the men, and they would drop off the perch and die long before the men were in danger of suffocating and blowing up. And to make a long story short, after some 12-plus years working directly with Perkins at the St. Louis Zoo and the Brookfield Zoo in Chicago, the Bronx Zoo in New York, the L.A. Zoo and the National Zoo in D.C., many other big zoos around the country, I had done some 17,500 autopsies and over 454 species of animals, plus 3,000 human beings for a comparison. And what I learned was that every animal and every human being who dies of natural causes dies of a nutritional deficiency disease. And I got all excited about nutrition again, and I wrote 75 scientific papers that were published in medical journals and veterinary journals. I had written some 15 chapters for 8 multi-author textbooks on the subject, wrote a textbook of my own that was 1,000 pages, 2,000 illustrations, And through the news releases of the big universities I worked with, I was on 2020 with Hugh Downs and Geraldo before he got his nose broke for the first time. That was kind of a kick. I was in 1,700 newspapers around the world with a story through the UPI and AP Newswire service. And with all this public exposure and with all this scientific exposure, I couldn't get people who are in a position of authority, either in medical research or the government, to get too excited about preventing and curing diseases in human beings with nutrition like we did in animals. So I became frustrated enough, I went back to school up in Portland, Oregon, became a physician, and I practiced there for 12 years as a general family practitioner, and I delivered babies and sewed up chainsaw wounds and did the hemorrhoid circuit, you know, the basic stuff you do. But the thing that gave me the most pleasure, the thing that got me excited to put my pants on every morning and go to the office, was I was able to use everything I had learned in veterinary nutrition on my human patients. It was no surprise to me that the concept of preventing and curing diseases in animals with nutritional formulas works just as well in people. It works like, just like a charm. Well, I was always very honest with my patients. I put my veterinary degree on the wall next to the medical degree. And the new ones that didn't know me, they'd spot that veterinary degree first because it was twice as big. They say, "Doc, now look, I'm here for a physical. Am I in the right place? It looks like you're a horse doctor." And they get all nervous. And I'd have to give them some assurance that I wouldn't give them a rabies shot if they didn't deserve it. And when I saw that they were from a farm or had something to do with livestock, I'd have a little fun with them. I used to keep in the top drawer of my desk one of those full-length obstetrical gloves that you use for AI and examine mares and cows with. And I put that on, and I wave it in front of their face, and I got two predictable reactions. Number one, their eyes would get as big as saucers, and they would immediately get into the basketball defense position. Secondly, when I break out the KY jelly and start lubricating that glove up in the armpit, they would back out of the examining room, never turning their back on me. It was kind of fascinating. And the nurses would always find them huddled behind the water cooler screaming that they were willing to give up their turn, that it wasn't their turn. But once they got used to my sense of humor, they'd start telling their friends and relatives, "Look, if you're not happy with what your doctor's doing for you, go see Wallach. Now, he'll treat you like a dog, but you get better." Over the years, we had a lot of fun, and I certainly learned a lot from those patients, and I like to think that I gave them some useful information. And what we're going to do tonight together is go over a lot of what they and I learned together. And if you take home just 10% of what I share with you, you're going to save yourselves an enormous amount of unnecessary misery. You're going to add many, many helpful years to your life, and you're going to save yourselves a gob of money.